Welcome to episode 61 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British soap institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Michael.
And this week we'll be discussing the episodes broadcast in the UK between the 23rd and the 27th of September 2013.
Yeah, we did it in first go this time, that was good.
Yeah,
we just needed a sensible attitude. We're also a bit tired. I've been away this week on a school trip.
And I've been partying all the time.
Yeah, I've been going in kayaks, I've been going along zip lines.
Falling in rivers.
I got pushed into a river by a 10-year-old child. Yeah, and it was alright, I had quite a nice time. Unlike one person, and this has nothing to do with Coronation Street at all, but I'm going to tell you about this because it gave me a good laugh. One of our children came to the staff room today with a postcard that they'd found underneath their bunk when they moved in. And this was written by somebody who had previously visited this place.
Is it only for the same age child? Is
yes.
It all the same?
Yeah. So this is like, 10, 11, 12-year-old wrote this. Not from our school, but from somebody who had previously visited this place, which I shall remain nameless.
A residential activity centre.
Yes, and their thoughts were this. To Mum and Dad, I really miss you and long to get out of this ... hole. Honestly, I had better expectations for this place. I want to be with you on the sofa, stroking Bobby. So, poor old child. Poor old child, who we'll also not name.
Poor old lonely Bobby.
Yeah, but no.
It never got sent, so perhaps they changed their mind.
Yeah, maybe they had a really good last day. But yeah. Anyway, it was quite a nice week.
You enjoyed it, though, didn't you?
I enjoyed it. It was tiring.
Did you miss stroking Bobby?
Yes, of course. I also missed Coronation Street, which means we had to watch three whole episodes today rather than the normal.
It's been worse.
Worse?
It's been worse when we've had to do more than three.
Oh, yeah. When we come back from holidays, we do more. Anyway, it's not been that great this week, because I don't think the episodes have been that thrilling, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Gemma, do curry history, because I always do it.
Why do I have to do it?
Because I always do it. I've just been telling stories.
Yeah, but you come up with it. I don't know what this means. Here's curry history. 40 years ago, since the first appearance of Trisha Hopkins. 15 years since the final appearance of Fiona Middleton, no relation, and Audrey takes over the salon. 15 years since Hayley moved in with some guy called Roy, and he proposes or something. Tomorrow is the anniversary of their first night together.
That's very important. That's a classic scene, Roy and Hayley's prelude to their first night together, and I couldn't go without putting it in because they had You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman playing in the background.
Pun.
Yes. You know how much I like those.
10 years since Katie Harris deliberately put herself into a diabetic coma after her parents refused to let her see Martin.
Yeah, there you go.
The nurse,
yeah, that wasn't when Katie killed herself.
No, that was a different time.
Yeah, it was after she killed
her
parents.
What an adventurous lass she was.
Well, how exciting the beginning of September is. Oh, we're not even in the beginning of September now, the end of September. Right, let's do street talk.
It's street talk.
Hooray, street talk.
Everyone's favourite bit.
Yeah, especially so since we've updated the format and we got quite a bit of feedback this week about people saying that they enjoyed the new style street talk. And we'll read a selection of it later in the feedback section, but it does mean that we have to remember exactly how we did it last week and do it again this week.
Oh no, I wasn't paying attention.
Well, this week in Street Talk, we've had kind of four main...
No, wait a minute. Just so you need to explain here that every single storyline has got two titles this week.
I know.
Because you've gone nuts for some reason.
Pun nuts. Except I've got a good one and a bad one. Well, first up out of our four main storylines this week, we've got the Hayley's ailing storyline, but we could also just as well call it Bad Christian.
Mm.
Coming up next, Gemma.
Stella, Rover's Stella.
And Stella sadly decides to sell at the Rovers.
Oh, shame. She's been one of the best landladies they've had in the last 6 months.
I also toyed with calling this Stella Sets Her Price. But I went with
Price
the rhyming
is such
one
an
instead.
Excellent name for pun opportunities.
I know.
I don't think there's any other family on the street that's better, apart from the Croppers.
There's only one thing that can come with that.
Yeah, but we know that it's definitely coming.
Michelle and Peter have been arguing still in the factory this week, but by midweek, she was no longer working there. In fact, Connor, goner. is going to be our title for that.
Factory Feud factory, is just the old backup one we've got that works for every week.
Every week, the factory dinner. Yeah. The Platt storyline.
Usually called Who's the Daddy?
It has been kind of in the past. But today's episode, we've given it a new meaning as David didn't know whether he should be in the hospital or whether he should be back home with Kylie and their...
the Reverend.
Clerical visitor. We've called it Nick or Vic.
Nick or Vic.
Very good.
Short for Vicar, of course.
Yes, and Nick is short for Nicker, which is what he was called when he was growing up. Nicky. Oh dear, it's going to be one of those episodes.
What have you been drinking?
We've also had a little bit more of Sally and Tim, while Tim mostly hiding away from her, and also Owen was in like one scene this week.
So Michael's panniers, Sultan Bunkup, and Owen's stuff.
That was just like the also runs. That's like just a bit extra that we can talk about in 30 seconds. So let's start off with Hayley's ailing then. So Monday's episode, they were just waiting for news from Christian, and finally they got this phone call, which interrupted another tender scene between them. That was on the same day as Roy's driving lesson, which he still didn't get to see any of.
He was kicked out because he disagreed with the instructor about the meaning of some signs.
Yeah, that was quite funny. It was like the falling rock sign that the driving instructor thought it meant mudslide or something.
The deer sign, she claimed, meant there could be deer. But of course we all know it means any wild animal, even bears.
Yeah, right, I'm going to kick you out for pointing that out to me now. You're banned.
Sorry. I'm going to go and eat my Milky Buns.
We had them going off for a walk as well, didn't we? Hayley and Fizz, new family. Because now that Christian didn't seem to be interested, she wanted to get this new family. But no, Christian did ring up and organise this meeting for Wednesday. They were arranging to meet in Bury. I don't know where that is. But she doesn't want to tell him about her illness because she doesn't want him to feel sorry for her.
Although that could have really helped.
Yeah, I know. He looked a bit ill himself, to be honest. I'd forgotten what the character looked like.
He kind of reminds me of Spider.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, he did. He looked like he was like sunk. His eyes are all sunken in.
I think he's got his own problems, to be frank.
Maybe he was like putting off telling her and like...
They're both going to go, I've got something to tell you.
They could have had something in common if it turned out that Christian was dying as well.
Yeah,
because I don't think he was interested in trains. We also got to hear about Roy's second driving lesson that day with Dave, who is apparently will put up with anybody no matter how pedantic and inflexible they are. But that doesn't go very well either because despite Hayley being there in the back seat for a calming influence, he still manages to drive into a delivery van full of Battenbergs. And I enjoyed that little scene because I thought that Monday's episode of Coronation Street was utterly, utterly full of misery all round, apart from that. And then we have this dying woman bursting out laughing because her husband is road rage Roy. And I thought that was quite a sweet little moment there.
It all goes badly on Wednesday there because Hayley gets dressed up to meet Christian.
Yeah. Purple blouse or white blouse? I think she made the right decision.
Roy's reluctant, and he was right because Christian stands her up.
Yeah, I was surprised. I was kind of, when I was away on Wednesday and I couldn't see this episode, I thought, oh, it's probably quite a good episode I'm missing today because I wanted to see this meeting between Hayley and Christian, but then it never happened. It was just kind of dragging it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Do you think it would... wonder why they did that. I mean, did they just want a double episode for it? It seemed a bit...
I don't know. Maybe they kind of thought... I mean, this is turning into to be a story about Christian just as much as it is about Hayley, and it kind of getting on my nerves because he wasn't even around.
Well, no. I mean, we talked last week about how we not necessarily happy that they dragged him back up again. But, I mean, it seemed to be by the end of the episode that he's going to be gone for good. What do you think? Do you think...
No, he's going to come back.
Do you reckon?
Let's carry on. We've got to talk about this.
Okay.
Otherwise, it's got no context. On Friday, Hayley's a bit upset because... She's kind of missed her chance to reunite with Christian, so she wants Roy to take her for a walk in the park. But when she's gone, Christian turns up at the cafe and ends up waiting around for them.
Yeah, Anna didn't know who he was, I guess. I mean, Anna obviously wasn't around when all this happened before, but you would have thought that Hayley and Roy might have spoken to her about it, because the way she acted...
Why would she?
Well, I don't know, I mean...
I wouldn't.
Why, is it a big secret? I can't remember who knew about it before.
Well, I don't know anyway. When they come back, Hayley takes him upstairs, but Roy's a bit worried about them meeting up. But it turns out Christian's very apologetic, and he says, "Sorry about last time. I'm not normally like that, but I don't really know why you want to meet me for."
Yeah, no, I couldn't really remember anything at all about Christian apart from like what I'd read about. Looking back on these storylines, what were your initial thoughts of him when he came and sat down? Did you think he was a nice bloke or
insipid looking?
I thought he seemed pretty nice.
Whiny.
Yeah, a little bit whiny, and no, I know you mean, but I thought pathetic. I thought he was going to be understanding.
I thought he was going to be one of these, just like sympathetic characters that are just utterly boring and only have one character trait, which is.
He's a little bit like Kirk, and I said like that guy from the Royal Family.
He's not like Kirk at all. Kirk's funny. He's got a personality.
He looks like he was kind of could have been become a dopey character that is like Kirk. Mm. He didn't look like the brightest light bulb, did he?
He didn't look intelligent, but he didn't look funny anyway.
I liked Roy and Hayley both talking about send the Flying Scotsman when that train went through in the background. He's just like Christian didn't obviously had no link at all to anything that they're interested in, and it was a bit stilted and awkward, that conversation, which is why they ended up going to the Rovers, which is where this final showdown took place between them today.
Well, he kind of explains a bit more about his life and tells him he's married to somebody called Holly, and he's got two children called Sam and Maisie, and maybe one day Hayley can meet them, but Hayley kind of jumps on that and freaks Christian out a bit because he didn't really mean, you know, soon, but she has only got time for soon. That's all there is for Hayley, but she can't say that.
I had never even considered the fact that Christian might have children, and Hayley's now suddenly got these grandchildren, not a week after, like, adopting or so whatever, Hope and Rubeth.
Suddenly she's got, like, three generations worth of family.
That was a bit awkward. Did you think that they were going to say to Christian that she was dying?
No. They already said they weren't.
No, I know, but I mean, it looked like, I mean, because things are obviously getting very tense and Roy was getting angrier and angrier, I thought that Hayley, maybe to diffuse the tension that was building up between Christian and Roy, Hayley might just burst out and say, "Look, I'm dying." But obviously that never happened, and we got left with a very bad impression of Christian because he was, well, after Roy left, Hayley said to Christian, "I'll make sure you're a good dad," and he says, "Well, I couldn't be worse than you if I tried." So suddenly we get to see his true colours. Yeah. I felt a bit sympathetic towards him before because obviously Roy and everyone else in Coronation Street is now used to the fact that there's a transsexual living in the street. I could understand that Christian would still find it weird, and Roy didn't understand, or he wasn't willing to.
He just jumped in straight away and called him a bigot, didn't he? And said he was prejudiced and stuff. Because he's saying, maybe you can meet the kids when they're 16 or 17. They've got time to get their heads around the fact that their grandmother is actually their grandfather.
Mm.
And in a way, it's difficult to know how you would bring this up with your children. And I can understand Christian being a bit kind of upset at the fact that this is suddenly his problem to try to work out how he's supposed to explain this to his kids, because the best way of doing it is to tell them when they're young so they don't have some kind of horrible revelation when they get older, like
tell them the truth now.
But if they find out, it might be difficult for them to understand, and you don't want them to start getting bullied at school or something if they come out with, you know, start saying stuff, because people are really intolerant.
Mm.
Children won't mind because kids are kind of open-minded about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, they are. It's been, how old did he say they were? 2 and 5 or something?
Very young.
Yeah, I think they'd have totally accepted it, but, well.
But he doesn't, obviously. He still can't understand it, and it must be really hard because he's only ever met her once.
Yeah, and he's obviously put her to the back of his mind. He's probably just had, for the past 6 years, this kind of smouldering resentment about her, and I'm sure he must have thought about her at some point between now and then, and he's just thinking, thinking horrible things. What am I supposed to do about her? This freak of a father that I've got, and this has obviously been bubbling away inside of him.
So they leave him there. Once he says that horrible thing to Hayley, she says, "Well, you've just made my life a bit easier."
Yeah, it's a bit sad, really.
Yeah. She doesn't really seem upset. She tells Roy that she feels sorry for him when Roy confesses that he did consider striking him.
Didn't Roy say that He was thinking of hitting Craig whenever it was when...
I know, he's getting very violent. I wonder
the
if
the threat of violence from Roy.
Are they, like, building this up to, like, have some kind of... He's going to go into some kind of violent rage and get carted off to prison when Hayley's gone.
As much as I would enjoy, as a viewer, watching Roy sort of turning into a violent, like, kind of...
Thug.
Yeah. Just for the lols. I don't think they would do that.
No,
I think it would
just
spoil the
right.
character a little bit too much. But
Hayley's just sad that she can't meet the kids and that one day they're going to find out about her and she won't be able to explain herself and she'll be their little shameful secret.
Yeah, but there must be an element of relief on her part as well that at least she's tried to build these bridges with Christian because she wouldn't have wanted to go to the grave without...
Trying.
Yeah.
And she's kind of absolved of it now. And Roy's relieved because he doesn't have to share her in her final days.
Oh, yeah, he doesn't.
How sweet.
Another tender Roy and Hayley moment. So you think that Christian's still going to be hovering around and come back, do you?
I don't see groveling. Why they would have brought up the fact that he has a wife called Holly who is very nice. I can imagine him turning up a few weeks down the line going, or Holly even turning up.
Holly might turn up.
Going,
that's true.
Oh, I need to speak to Hayley. Who the hell are you? I'm Christian's wife, Holly.
There could be that. I just wonder whether they brought him in just for a little bit because if they hadn't, then
no.
people would have said,
no, they
wouldn't
wouldn't
she have wanted to meet her son?
No, they wouldn't have done.
No?
No, they wouldn't have
okay,
done.
Okay, well, we'll see. We'll see what
no,
happens there.
We have not seen the end of Christian, and I think this is what I was saying that it annoys me. He's going to be an integral part of her leaving the show. Which is irritating because he was never a big part of her being on the show.
No.
And
no,
they're trying
really
to milk as much pathos out of it as possible, but I think the fact that she's got cancer and she's a really popular character, she's going to die, is reason enough for people to weep into their hankies.
Well, yeah, she's already got enough of this sort of step families anyway, or foster family,
doesn't
she? I know,
she's just collecting waifs and strays to kind of weep on her deathbed.
Yeah, well, we'll see
but
what
I
happens.
Think it's incredibly cruel to introduce two children to somebody and say, this is your nana. Oh, she's dead.
Yeah.
I think that's a bit cruel. I mean, what?
I was just going to say, yeah, they can't even sort of... He can't even say to the children, oh, this is your nan. Because then they would think, oh, is it your mum then? I mean, the best that he could do is, like, say, this is your Auntie Hayley or something
yeah.
and kind of
Great
leave it
Auntie
at that.
Hayley. I would imagine if I was the dad... I would say, look, okay, oh, you want to meet the kids, that's fine, but I don't want them to know that you're the nan because I don't want them, because if you're going to die in 6 months' time, it's just going to be really confusing.
Mm.
But you can still spend time with them and have fun with them and maybe write them a letter that they can open when they're older and
yeah.
then they can get to know you
that
way.
That might work, actually.
But I don't know if that would be the right thing to do.
Don't know.
It's just really awkward because you don't want to put kids through that.
No.
It's not the same as getting a hamster to teach them about death. Remember the nana we got you? Well, she's dead.
Yeah.
Deal with it.
Can't get you a new one either, sorry.
No.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Stella Rover's cellar, which is...
You've given the game away now, because it
know.
Was not until Wednesday that she... Oh,
yeah.
No, is it? No, it's the end of Monday that she makes this momentous decision to pass on the Rovers to some other... Poor sod.
Yeah, it's because she was so... last week she was miserable all week, wasn't she? Obviously this thought was ruminating or whatever inside her. But that... I mean, there's also the Jason and Eva side of the storyline, which was kind of disappeared, it seemed, by Wednesday.
Well, Eva's really guilty on Monday because she's having this relationship with Jason. She doesn't want her mum to find out and she feels bad and maybe they shouldn't be together. Meanwhile, Stella's completely oblivious and is asking Jason to redecorate the pub so maybe she'll feel differently about it. And Gloria finds out about them together, Jason and Eva, and tells them, don't tell Stella, don't let her find out, don't do it anymore.
Mm.
This is bad enough, but your mum's going through enough as it is. So...
But then Stella walks in on them anyway, having a bit of a snog in the back room, so
yeah,
it doesn't take too long.
And we
long.
Forgot to look up what happened at the beginning of that episode.
Oh, yeah, we did,
it.
Didn't we? The recording cut off at the beginning of the second episode, and I don't know what happened at all.
Well, it ends with Stella saying, you'll make a lovely couple, and that's her kind of party line throughout the entire rest of the week, so we're just going to have to go with that, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm sure she doesn't mean it. I mean, yes, she wants to see Eva happy, but...
I don't know, the most of the time when she's talking to them, she kind of is smiling at them as if to say, oh, I hope he does that thing with you he did with me. It was really good.
I liked Eileen's line when she discovers that Jason's been in bed with Eva and she's like, are you collecting the set?
I know.
And then says, I won't say anything, but if I come down in a couple of weeks and I find Gloria in my dressing gown, I wouldn't bet it past him. And if he likes the older woman, we don't know how old.
We don't know what his limit is. The other, Gloria is also a bit annoyed at Jason and Eva for doing this, but she kind of gets used to it after a while. And the other news is that Carl is going to plead guilty at his trial, which just, that's the end of Carl.
Yeah,
probably been just never mentioned again apart from...
Well, we saw Stella shredding those photos of him today.
Yeah.
But like, they just need to forget about it now. We realise that he's gone.
Jason and Eva have an attack of conscience and tell Stella they're going to break up. But she says, no, I'm really happy for you. You should stay together. But she goes and tells Dev that she's really upset and she doesn't really know what to do with herself. And Dev tells her that she needs to put herself first for once, which then motivates her to call a meeting of the Price women and tell them she's going to sell.
Yeah.
So, on Wednesday, Gloria's kind of come round to the idea when it turns out she's going to get her 80 grand payoff from the money that she put into it to help Stella buy it. Eva's not very happy about it because I guess she's just decided that she wants to stay around with Jason. And so she's going to have to follow them wherever they go. And it doesn't seem obvious what their plans are, really.
Yeah, Eva and Jason?
Any of them. What are Gloria, Stella and Eva going to do now?
Because they're still living at number 13 at the moment, are they?
I don't know.
Well, with Kevin being away, I think they're still living there.
Kevin's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
But before Christmas.
I don't know what they think they're going to do now, really. She just wants to get out. I mean, what we saw that all week, she's just desperate to sell as soon as possible, and she lowered the price of it already
in one episode.
A couple of days, yeah. Now, Norris is obviously very interested to have heard this news, so he goes crowing to everyone about it.
He's worried that it's going to close for good because they might not get a buyer.
Yeah, well, it will made Rita turn as white as a sheet, apparently, when she found out.
But on Friday, it seems as though somebody has their eye on the property.
Steve.
Steve is eyeing up the for sale sign.
The Mac is back. What do you think about the possibility of him being back behind the bar?
Let's finish the storyline up before you start discussing it.
Okay, go on then. Okay.
Tina, Michelle's a bit miffed off with the fact that she's quit her job, which we'll come to later. And she's decided to work as a barmaid in the Rovers. And Tina tells Steve that he needs to cheer Michelle up. So he decides to buy the Rovers. And it's going to take him a couple of months. But if Stella takes it off the market, then he's definitely going to buy it.
Yeah.
So, now you may ask your question.
What do you think about having Stephen back behind the bar of the Rovers return?
I kind of forgot that he was... See, everyone seems to have been behind the bar anyway now. It's not even special anymore.
I know, well, that's one of the points that Julie Goodyear made in that Piers Morgan, wasn't it?
She was like, that was my idea first.
Saying, how many people have they had since me? And it's true, because like, Annie Walker was landlady for years and years and years. I mean, from before the programme started to 1980-whatever. And then
they should just put a revolving door in.
Yeah, they just can't seem to find anybody that is... I think they're looking for somebody to be iconic, but they can't find anyone.
It's weird because all the other businesses on the street are just one person's business, apart from the factory. The factory and the Rovers seem to change hands all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, no one's really mucking around in the taxi place. The cabin's always got the same people in there.
I just think they're really trying to still replace Bette in a way. By finding blonde
bombshells
because we've had Natalie Horrocks, who only lasted a few years, Liz McDonald, obviously, we've had, and now Stella. They're just trying to find a new bet, and obviously that she's irreplaceable, so they need to find someone else. I mean, we had Fred Elliott in charge for quite a while, and I quite enjoyed him as Rover's landlord. But I don't know what I'm going to think about Steve being back again. Could be good, but it does mean we'll probably see more of Michelle.
That's
which,
the only thing that makes me reluctant about this, is that Michelle seems to suck the joy out of everything that she's involved with.
Yeah.
Because all she does is minge and moan about stuff.
I know. I mean, we saw that scene, that over-the-bar argument between Carla and Michelle in today's episode, and I can just see more of that, really, with Michelle being in charge.
Yep.
I liked when the estate agent came round earlier in today's episode and Stella said that they were thinking of keeping Gloria in as part of the fixtures and fittings. Yeah. Maybe that will be solve the problem of what to do with her.
Yeah, I don't think that Steve will go for that, though.
No, he's obviously going to keep Tina on. Sean, I guess, as well. I think it's going to be business.
It's not
going to
be
normal,
any
really.
Change, no. There's not going to be any change. He's going to go in there and go, oh, maybe I should make a few changes. And Michelle will go, no. Or the other way around, because they've only just changed the set and they've built a new set that looks exactly the same.
Steve is going to be more of a comedic landlord than Stella ever was, because that's the character
really
who he is now.
I don't know what the point of Stella as a bomb, as the owner of the Rovers ever was.
Well, no, I don't think anyone does.
If you want somebody who, well, she turned into like a godmotherly kind of advice dispensing wise woman, but we already have Rita doing that in the cabin. You don't need someone else.
Mm. I also wonder how much Steve is going to actually be in the pub anyway, because
no,
he's going to be at Streetcars.
Yeah.
So.
But that's going to be a bit disappointing if you've got somebody who's in charge of it who isn't actually. Is he going to have to appoint a brand new.
Well, we'll see.
Landlady.
We'll see, won't we?
Because that could be quite interesting if whoever it is starts clashing with Michelle.
Yes, interesting.
Do you know something?
Yes, I've got. Well, don't
do you?
Yes.
What do you know?
I'm not telling you, but we know who's coming back. That's spoilerish territory. Let's not go there. You do know. Just have a think about it. Let's move on. Let's talk about Michelle now. I was totally fed up by this storyline at the beginning of the week, because this is one that's been dragging on and on and on, with Peter and Michelle kind of at each other's throats. And I did feel sorry for Michelle a little bit, because she's absolutely right that Peter's come in and is basically taken over in the course of a few months.
Just do what all good British people do. Let someone else do all the hard work, eat your biscuit, drink your tea, turn up, 9 to 5, go home again. What is she ever going to achieve? Is she paid on commission at this job? They never mention it. She's always talking about getting a pay rise, but she never gets one.
It's not like she's going to inherit it from Carla when she...
Exactly, she's not going anywhere. She's already as much of a partner as Carla will ever let her be.
Yeah.
Just needs to get a grip. And, I mean, what's she going on? When she quits on Wednesday, spoiler alert, she goes on Friday about getting a new job. She doesn't even have a maths GCSE.
I know, like, I couldn't believe that.
She's deputy manager, or whatever her job position is, of a factory.
She does spreadsheets and everything.
She's not going to get a better job than she has, as we've learnt to her expense this week.
Do you think she's
got bloody ideas above her station?
Or do you think she still dreams of being a singer somewhere?
I don't know. I mean, no offence to people that haven't got maths GCSEs, but being in charge of a factory is pretty good for someone who hasn't got qualifications, because that's a pretty basic one to have.
Well, I bet Mike Baldwin didn't have very many O-levels. I bet he grew up in the School of Hard Knocks.
Because
he did all right.
You only need a C, don't you, to technically have a maths GCSE. What does she do? Not even turn up for an exam?
Well,
I hope I'm not offending lots of listeners, but surely... That's pretty basic.
Yeah.
Teachers have failed in this country, I tell you.
Well, we also had, as part of this storyline, Ryan kind of mooching around and Michelle being annoyed at him. And I think that the fact that she was already sort of riled up with Ryan's general inadequacy was kind of...
He's lackadaisical.
Yeah, that made her... She couldn't...
Even more annoyed.
Yeah. We said about her wanting to be a singer, but she did suggest to Ryan that being a DJ is just a pipe dream and it's going nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I don't know what's happening there, but he was only in a couple of scenes, utterly useless.
Monday was just demonstrating the fact that Michelle is losing heart in her job because of Peter's shenanigans.
Wednesday was the fig roll day.
Yes, Wednesday we have a comedic scene with a client who happens to be gay, because I don't know why.
Had a lovely turquoise suit.
She tells Ryan to change the record when he talks about his job, but that is his job. So that was a bit confusing. And Peter's got this meeting lined up with this gay client, but she's not going to help him, and he's never had a meeting by himself before, so he's kind of in the deep end.
This is because Carla's away in, where was she? Belgium or
wherever.
Brussels or somewhere like that.
Because the client is gay, Sean is then able to dispense advice on behalf of his people and tells Peter, number one, compliment his outfit, and number two, give him fig rolls. And when the client turns up and is offered fig rolls, he says, you've done your homework. There's something about fig rolls that I'm not quite understood here.
They're gross.
Is there a hidden meaning to a fig roll?
I don't think so. This guy was just a regular client that we've never seen before, and Sean, who must be the master of the biscuits or something.
It wasn't to do with the fact that he's gay that he likes fig rolls.
No.
Okay, I'm
he just
clear
likes
on
fig
that.
Rolls.
Everybody listening, we've just cleared that up in case you were also confused.
I don't know whether it was supposed to be a comedic scene or what, but I mean, Peter was obviously squirming, and this guy was totally, he was the straight man, pardon the pun, in the comedic scene, because he was just, like, totally serious.
He was just blank, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then he got a tea spilt on him.
Peter was saying, I'm telling you straight, I mean, I'm on the level. And he says a few other things, and then Peter and Michelle decide to have a tussle over the coffee.
Unprofessional.
And dump it in his lap. But he gives them the contract after all, because that's just how soaps work.
Yeah.
Peter then gets in a mood with Michelle because she made him look like a bit of an idiot. And he does accuses her of messing up on purpose to make them lose business. And she goes off on one. Because it's a bit of a crappy thing to accuse her of. Because she was there first.
Yeah, but she was kind of being very petty by not helping him.
Yeah.
She should have done, really.
Well, to show how unpetty she's being, she quits.
Yeah, goes. But of course, she gets the job just on her doorstep, as everybody does, within 5 minutes. And now she's a new Rover's barmaid, just in time for Steve to buy the place. Isn't that lucky? That's when Carla finds out from Steve, was it? He said, oh, can you get Michelle to work back with you, please? So she marches off to the Rovers with Peter in tow, tries to appease her by offering her an 84 pound bottle of champagne, but Michelle's not having any of it.
She says, I'm done with underwears and I'm done with you. And she gives a very heartfelt speech about how Carla dumps her every single time she gets a man and how Michelle feels second best all the time and she's sick of it and she's not playing second fiddle to a man anymore and she's doing it for herself now.
Now, we both like Carla and we both find Michelle incredibly boring. So, did you feel like, whose side were you on during that? Because I did understand what Michelle was...
Michelle was totally in the right there, and Carla had not a leg to stand on, did she? She's like, hey, lady, have some champagne.
Yeah, she couldn't think of anything.
It was a bit feeble from Carla. I think she would have been... I was a bit disappointed, really, that she didn't fight harder for Michelle, but I don't like people that are like this when they get, like, a partner. The partner's got to slot into your life, not the other way around. You shouldn't dump everybody in your life.
Yeah.
To fit in with a new person. They should be able to fit into your life.
I just don't think it was ever made completely clear at the factory what Peter's job would be. Because he's just been dotting around from packing to sewing, which we never saw, then in the office.
Yeah, well, it never went anywhere, did it? I thought there was going to be loads of comedy scenes of him sewing up his fingers.
But to be honest, they don't need three people in the factory office.
As most of the storylines to do with the office have proven.
Yeah.
They're either moaning they haven't got any clients and no business, or they're bickering with each other about the fact that occasionally there are three of them in the office.
All the factory storylines are the same.
Yeah.
But anyway, Carla's furious. I liked when she said that she wanted to buy the Rovers just so she could sack Michelle.
Oh, that was a classic Carla moment.
I'd love Carla to be in charge of the Rovers. She'd have no nonsense.
She would be an excellent landlady.
Get out of my pub. She'd be brilliant. Oh. Yeah.
I think she's too businesslike to be able to... You got to be a bit, like, earthy, don't you?
It'd be quite funny to see Carla kind of have to make that change in her attitude.
Yeah.
And she'd probably start barring everybody.
I don't think she could be subservient like that in, you know, behind the bar. She wouldn't like to give, you know... It's kind of a...
She'd be
very...
like Annie Walker a little bit. A bit like a younger, kind of harsher Annie Walker. Like, yeah, no nonsense. I'd like it, but anyway, we won't see that.
Maybe in the distant future.
They have their nice meal together at the bistro, of course, at the end of the episode.
Carla and Peter do.
Yeah.
And she tells Peter that if he's happy, she can cope with losing Michelle because Peter's worth it. Mm. Or is he?
Well, I'd like to say what happens next, but actually it's completely boring because it doesn't seem to be going anywhere and it's just going to be Carla and Peter getting clients, losing orders.
Getting clients, losing orders, working in the factory.
That's all it is. I'm so bored of factory storylines.
And also,
it's a shame because I love Carla, but she's just stuck in a rut.
I know. It's also, can I have the afternoon off? No, we've got to get an order out by Wednesday. I'll make the time up. Not before Wednesday, you won't. This is a really important order. If we don't get this order done by Wednesday, the whole factory is going to close down.
I've forgotten another important factory storyline. We've got a new person working in packing. Let's have Kirk teach them how to lift boxes.
Yeah.
Classic.
Oh, well, first of all, you pick the box
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we've seen it all before. I don't know what we can do. I don't know at all.
Burn it
not
down.
Not to us.
Oh, already tried that. It didn't work.
Yeah. It just comes back worse than ever.
Like a phoenix.
Let's do Platts. I also considered reviving the storyline, the most excellent storyline pun, Platt's Tired. No, what do we call it? Yeah, Platt Tires for this, because Kylie Platt was tired in this week's episode.
And as she is the most overlooked Platt.
Yeah.
But no, you decided to go with Nicole Vick.
Nicole Vick, yeah. Well,
which was only a very minor storyline thread on Friday. So
yeah,
there's not really much defending that, is there?
No, sorry.
Can you do?
Nothing really happened in the week. I mean, the Nick waking up was kind of the main thrust of the storyline, but he kind of didn't
even
wake
that
up really, did he?
That was the. I tell you what.
That was a cliffhanger at the end of the first Monday episode, but then all.
We're always moaning about how boring Nick is, and he's even managed to make waking up from a coma the most boring thing we've ever seen, because most characters on the soap come around and they're like, oh, who is that? Oh, what's happened? Nick's just like, blink, blink, squeeze, and that's it for a week.
Yeah, they get a whole storyline out of this. In the meantime, Kylie's getting tired. I'm getting tired of Gail and her bloody blueing about who's the daddy again. And Gail goes, oh, if Nick dies and he's the father, Lily's the only thing I'll have left of him. Just bad going round and round in circles again. Tina's, of course, sticking her oar in by saying to David, oh, you've got to confess to Kylie that about what happened and that you know about her and Nick together.
But what's David's solution to this? Have a christening. That's going to fix everything.
Yeah, that came out of nowhere. Is it? You said today that maybe David thinks that if you have a christening, then that automatically makes him his dad.
Yeah, it's like, I fancy the baby. Sorry, my name's on the christening thing. Look, here's me in the photo next to the font.
Well, it is a strange thing because obviously the Platts aren't a religious family at all. And David is devil child.
Oh, most people don't. I don't think religion comes into getting christened these days any more than it does getting married.
It just seems to me like an odd thing for... I don't know, it seems to come out of nowhere.
No, I think christenings are... It's like saying, oh, why do you have a religious funeral?
Mm.
You got to have births, christenings and deaths. Those are the most important things in life.
Yeah. But then he didn't even turn up to meet the vicar.
I mean, weddings.
He was a bit... He was a bit of a git, wasn't he, leaving Kylie with
horrible,
the vicar?
He was horrible, but you keep jumping ahead.
That's the new style. New style street talk. Could
not
go anywhere.
No, it's confusing people. It's confusing me. Where are we?
We're just about here in the notes.
No, you're just moving forward too quickly.
Well, back in the hospital on Monday, Leanne was saying...
See, you're going back to Monday now.
Leanne was saying that Nick woke up, but he didn't know who she was. And he was just a bit dopey.
He was pretending. He's like, oh, crap, Leanne, I forgot about her.
Yeah, but hopefully he will regain his memory, according to the doctor.
The doctor said... He won't remember who you are. It's going to be a very long, boring process. It should take about 5 days.
Yeah.
And lots of hand squeezing.
This has been a very long stay in a coma, as you said before. For once.
And also, there's always the danger that he's going to be brain damaged or have to spend the rest of his life in a wheelchair.
Yeah, that is always the threat that hangs over anyone that goes into the hospital. So
Wednesday... Really, Kylie's just tired. She's miserable. And he decides to be nice to her on Wednesday, but it doesn't last until Friday. He gets some nice food from the bistro and heats it up at home.
It was Audrey's idea, wasn't it, I think?
I don't know.
It worked out.
And Kylie apologises and they make up. But on Friday, I think David gets agitated by the fact that Nick's awake and he's making noises and stuff. And he squeezes in Leanne's hand. And Leanne tells David that Nick must have been listening the whole time.
Yeah, because she's telling Nick about this christening.
Yeah.
And he's like apparently squeezing her hand to show his support of her.
He's going, no, that's my baby. No, don't let him christen her. I'm an atheist.
Yeah, so...
He looks worried about when he finds that, when he hears that Nick may have in fact been listening the whole time. And then Leanne walks in on David, trying to convince Nick that the accident was not his fault.
Yeah.
So we have a little cliffhanger, and then David says, oh, I was just letting him know it wasn't his fault, in case he was worried about that. And Leanne believes him straight away.
So meanwhile, Kylie's struggling with this vicar, who seemed like a lovely lady.
She came round, invited herself in, ate her biscuits, drank her tea. Yeah. Are you sure? She's nice.
It reminded me of, because Kylie called her the Vicar of Dibley, and it did remind me of that first scene where we meet Geraldine in the Vicar of Dibley, and like she's, and David answers the door, and yes, even called David in the Vicar of Dibley, isn't that, answering the door to her, and she reveals her dog collar, and she's this happy, friendly, kind of chubby vicar. She seemed lovely.
Yeah, you just went vicar, chubby woman, Vicar of Dibley.
Yeah. But David's too busy trying to cover his tracks at the hospital, and Kylie can't make small talk with him.
Kylie keeps phoning David up, trying to be rescued from this woman who she just got no. She keeps saying to David, I don't believe in God. I've got nothing to say to this vicar. I don't even care if Lily gets christened or not. It's not important to me. This is your thing. You've got to be here." So in response, David spends the whole day at the hospital with an unconscious brother, worrying that he's going to wake up and shriek out, "It was David all along!"
Yeah.
But luckily he doesn't, and he leaves at the same time as Leanne does, to come home to Kylie, who is absolutely furious that she's been left alone all day long. And David immediately gets on the defensive, and no matter what she says to him, he's like, "Well, whatever, no big deal. Don't get upset about it. What's your problem?"
Yeah, that was one of my favourite scenes of the week, that final scene with him being really
nasty
to her.
He's really foul.
It was really well acted, and
it was subtle for once.
Yeah,
he wasn't, like you said, he wasn't being Jack Nicholson David this time.
No, he was being pretty nasty and threatening, or in a kind of non-threatening way.
What have you got to be tired about? I have to do all the work around here. You don't have to do anything. I was just sitting with my brother in a coma. How can you complain about having to talk to a vicar for half an hour? Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and then he brings back up her pole dancing as well.
He says it's better than pole dancing.
Considering that like all this has happened with Nick because he apparently loves her and everything, he was, pretty horrible.
I was expecting him to say, "How can you complain about this when it was you slept with my brother?"
No, they want to drag that on for just a little bit longer.
I thought he was going to say something like, "You can talk after what you did." And then she would say, "What, David?" And then he'd say, "Wait until Monday." And then on Monday he'd say, "Nothing."
Nothing, I just make something out to resolve this cliffhanger. No, but yeah, I enjoyed that scene. I also thought it was quite funny when Kylie was phoning up David in the hospital. She's just about 5 metres away from the vicar, very loudly whispering, "I don't know how to talk to the vicar.
I don't like God."
Yeah, but the vicar obviously couldn't hear over the sound of her crunching biscuits.
Yeah, she's got the custard creams out.
Yeah, or the fig rolls.
Maybe.
So, what's going to happen when Nick wakes up? Because surely this is imminent now. Is he going to remember or not? I think we must have had this discussion loads of times before because we've been kept expecting him to have woken up for the past, I don't know how many weeks.
I think he's not going to remember, and then Dave is going to remind him.
It could have memory loss so bad that he doesn't even remember his little tryst with Kylie.
I know.
And then as far as he knows, it's David's baby because everyone tells him it's David's baby.
That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they just go, "Oh, let's just forget about the storyline then."
Yeah, and then we'll never know who's the baby, because that's who it's going to be. I hope it's David's baby.
Yeah, I do as well.
I'm kind of looking forward to Nick waking up, but on the other hand, it's not.
He has woken up and it was completely anticlimactic, because all he did was blink his eyes a bit. I hope he didn't get paid the same as the rest of them, because I would be talking to my agent.
Do you think that now that he's... Do you think it's going to be quick for him to be kind of conscious and talking now? Because they really can't drag it out for much longer than this.
I wouldn't be surprised if on Monday he's sitting up in bed going, "Oh, I don't remember a thing, Mum."
Mm-hmm. I think Monday or Wednesday he's going to be talking.
He'll be glaring at David going, "I don't remember."
Tell you what, though, he does look a bit scary with his shaved head now, doesn't he? His like stubbly beard. He looks very different.
Maybe he'll decide to keep it like that.
Yeah, that'll be his new bad boy persona.
Like a pirate or something.
Yeah. So we got a little bit more of Tim this week as well. All he basically did was hide from Sally, which is kind of funny. But
let's remind everybody that he is supposed to be going for a weekend or a week away with Sally. And he just said that he couldn't because he had a job on. Yeah. And we didn't even think about this, and obviously neither did he. But if he's got a job on and he's not going to be at home, then where is he going to be? His idea is to spend the week hiding in his house from Sally, because although he does like her, she's a bit too much for him, as anyone could have told him before he got into this relationship.
He seems like the sort that wouldn't really mind hiding away in his house, as long as he's got like Jason as his servant to bring him beer. He's got his football DVDs and
I think it's going to wear a bit thin as the time goes on. But yeah, he's recruited Jason to bring him food, and on Jason's way out of Tim's house, Sally catches him, and he pretends that he's been asked to look after the house, and Sally starts getting very concerned and telling him he should have set the alarm and blah 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 blah, and moaning that she didn't get a key and he did.
Yeah, do you think that she's going to end up going up there?
Yeah,
somehow.
There's
going to
be some
there.
Kind of suspicious light or something, or noises or something, and she's going to think that he's been broke into, but actually it's just him.
Yeah, maybe
watching the football.
Maybe because Sophie still works at the shop, doesn't she? So she might hear something upstairs when there shouldn't be anything upstairs, and then she.
Oh, she can
back to
find
Sally.
Him.
Oh yeah.
And she'll be like, yeah. Oh, I knew you were messing my mum around.
Yeah, and he tries to make her not say anything. Yeah, that's our prediction. Sophie finds out about Tim.
Hilarious.
And then we had for some reason, a couple of scenes at the Windass household where Faye was photographing her breakfast. That never went anywhere, did it?
That was so that Grace could see, I assume, because she said Grace got Pop-Tarts.
Oh,
but
yeah,
she seemed
yeah.
a bit annoyed that Grace got Pop-Tarts, but she had a full English.
I'd rather have Pop-Tarts some days.
Really? You're such an annoying git.
No, I like Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, but this explains why you always get disappointed when I cook you breakfast.
No, I do like cooked breakfast. Sometimes I just don't want a big breakfast.
Bacon and eggs again.
Sometimes I just don't want a big breakfast. And also, Katie wants Tina's old job at the builder's yard, but Owen says that she's not up to it.
Does she have a maths GCSE?
Has she got any GCSEs? I don't remember what happened to her education. She had a baby.
Probably sidelined somewhat.
Yeah, so that's going to be something new for Katie to do,
that's
which I'm sure we're all looking forward to.
Something that Katie can nag Owen about again.
Yeah.
Was she nagging him about something else?
Oh, I don't know.
She's always nagging,
I switch
she?
Off when Katie opens her mouth, I'm afraid to say. So
Katie
it's not,
and Nick should get married.
Yeah. It's not been a vintage week in Coronation Street this week. There was no Fizz and Tyrone, which I was hoping for. Very little Sally and Tim. But yeah, it was just... I think as soon as Michelle comes into a storyline, that drags it down. Nobody really likes Stella either. But, well, that was it for another week. And fingers crossed next week will be a little bit better. So, anything else to say about this week, Gemma?
I didn't really care what happened this week.
No, sorry. We managed to talk about it for a good 45 minutes, though, so it can't be too bad.
I thought the stuff with... I like Carla, so when she came back, I was happy. I thought the Christian stuff was a bit annoying. I kind of just wanted Christian to be like, oh, Mum, let's be friends, but just text each other.
Yeah. Let's be friends, but never have to be in a scene together ever again.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe at your funeral, if I have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing when you said about Carla. I like Carla, but I don't like the storylines she's in. And
yeah.
I think that's the same with David. I like David, but I don't like the storylines he's in.
It's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, Carla and David.
No. Don't
let's,
go there.
Let's do a character profile now.
You know how we really hate Nick?
Yeah.
And we think he's boring?
Yeah.
Should we do a character profile on him?
Yes, let's do a character profile on Nick. Well, recently we've seen some of the best acting from Ben Price that I might have ever seen in the last few years.
He blinked.
Well...
He laid there with his eyes closed.
He's just about to wake up, and who knows whether he'll be a new man when he does it. But it's not the first time that Nick's been a new man with all the different head swaps he's had. But yeah, let's catch up with his life so far. And if he has woken up with any kind of amnesia, he can just listen to our podcast and then he'll remember.
He'll know everything that's happened, and probably he'll know more about his character than the character does himself, because he seems to forget things quite easily.
Give us a rundown of Nick's vitals.
He was born on the 31st of December, 1980.
He looks older than that.
Do you think so?
Yes. Carry on.
His parents are Brian and Gail Tilsley, which explains why he's called Nick Tilsley.
Oh, you just wait and see what happened with his surname. He went back and forth, back and forth.
His siblings are Sarah Grimshaw and David Platt, who is his half-brother. Is Sarah not his half-sister?
No, Brian was Sarah's dad.
Sarah Grimshaw, oh,
she's
yeah,
not been over. You'd have thought she might have popped over from Italy to see her dying brother in a coma
no,
at some point.
She lives in Milan, okay? It's a really great place.
Too busy shopping.
His wife, the lovely, beautiful Leanne Battersby, former prostitute, in 1998 and 2013. What a wedding. He first appeared on the 5th of January, 1981.
He first appeared, five days after he was born.
And he has been in just over 1,330 episodes. But how many of those can you really count?
Why?
Because he's asleep in
the
lot.
Oh, yeah. Just round it off to 1,300.
He was played by Warren Jackson in 1981 to 1996. Adam Rickett from 1997 to 2004.
Time we would all prefer to forget.
And Ben Price from 2009 to present day.
Yeah. Now, I found that Nick Tilsley is the 10th longest running character of the current cast. So he's one of the stalwarts of Coronation Street at the moment.
He's one of the most iconic characters.
And he is the 34th most featured character in the series' prestigious history.
Because why wouldn't you feature him?
I don't know.
In 1981,
be so horrible to him. Let's treat him like...
I am! I'm being nice! In 1981, he was born and already an original and exciting character because his nickname was Nicky!
Nicky!
How fun is that? Not Nick, that's boring. Nicky!
Yeah.
Fun. So fun.
So he spent most of his early years in the middle of Brian and Gail's collapsing relationship, which included he had to spend time with Brian's new girlfriend, Liz, not Liz McDonald, which Gail resented. And also Gail had a new bloke called Jeff. And then Brian kidnapped Nick to try and get him away. So Brian was going a bit crazy at that point. But Gail got Nicky back. And then she also got Brian back in 1988. They remarried, but they were never really happy. It was a bit of a marriage of convenience. Maybe they'd started a podcast together or something.
Yeah. In 1989, it all went a bit wrong because Gail refused to let Brian keep Nicky when they agreed to his divorce. And in response, Brian decided to get stabbed to death outside a club. That showed her.
Yeah. So Nick is left with only a mum. Yeah, he was trying to protect a woman outside a nightclub.
You'd run away, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't get stabbed.
In 1991...
I wouldn't be outside a nightclub.
No, you wouldn't. Nicky's surname was changed to Platt when Gail's new wife, you've written, Martin, adopts him.
You can tell this isn't covered and pasted.
Brian's mum, Ivy, makes Nicky be an altar boy in exchange for letting him join the local football team.
Yeah, because we all know about Ivy being a devout Catholic.
Yes. In 1992 to 1995, he was a bit rebellious, old Nicky, and he started believing stories from Ivy about how wonderful his real dad was, and he started smoking, and he started demanding to be called Nick.
That is the beginning of the end. Started, yeah, exactly that. In 1995, that was when Ivy had died, and Nick inherited her house, which is bit of a bonus, but then you realise that it's just a terrace in Weatherfield and it's worth what, £10,000 or something. But anyway, it's more than I got when I was his age. The condition on him getting the house was that he reverts his surname back to Tilsley, because Ivy was like, she obviously didn't like the fact that Martin had sort of replaced her darling Brian, and yeah, lots of friction between Ivy's widower Don and the Platt family, and Don eventually bought the house from Nick for a princely sum of £12,000.
She invested in a new head eventually.
Yeah.
In 1996, he refused to go on holiday with his family, but he runs away after Audrey fusses over him too much.
Yeah, Audrey was put in charge of looking after him, but he didn't like it. Okay. Because he's a rebel.
He claimed to have lived rough in London and worked in a cafe when he returned home, but he actually only survived a few hours there before going to Torquay.
Yeah.
And then he moved to Canada.
Yeah, with his Uncle Stephen, and that was the last he saw of Warren Jackson.
And he had loads of amazing adventures, like making maple syrup and playing ice hockey.
Yeah, watch what you say.
Those are the things I know about Canada. They were, that's true. They wouldn't mind that. I'd be like...
Maple syrup's lovely.
Yeah, we share a queen. We're like brother and sister.
Yeah, so that was when Warren Jackson left. I don't think he was sacked, I can't remember. I think quite often when child actors get to that age, they suddenly realise they want to concentrate on their studies or whatever, don't they?
They're like, oh, well, I've got to get my maths GCSE.
Yeah, otherwise, what we're going to end up doing is working behind the bar or at Rovers. So he came back in 1997, I think it was. I didn't have the internet when I was making this note. Some of it I was making up because I was doing this. I was doing this this
that's
week.
That's what I did originally.
So he came back as Adam Rickett, and obviously that was
a big
casting because latest hunk on the street.
Was Adam Rickett famous before?
No, I don't think he was. I think he was freshly cast, but I think the first most people saw of him was pictures of him with
torso of the month.
Yeah, exactly, standing in a pile of tyres with his abs all out and going, oh, look at
me. Put your abs away, Adam Rickett.
They made such a thing about him being hunky because there's like scenes with him washing cars with his oiled muscles out and Janice Battersby fawning over him.
It's so tragic. It's like they're always slightly disappointing. Like, at least the women of the street are good looking. No matter how many times Michelle Keegan wins sexiest female and we laugh about it, they're all good looking women when they're supposed to be. Whereas Adam Rickett, God bless him, if I saw him working in a shop, I wouldn't look at him twice.
But that lovely floppy fringe, didn't it make your heart flutter?
Oh, he had curtains.
Well, he worked his charms on Leanne because before they knew it, they'd gone off to Scotland and got married together. And they were only, what, like 16 or something at the time? And I remember watching that and they didn't have anyone there. They got a couple of witnesses off the street and then came back and...
And she was known as Leanne Rickett.
No, you're confusing things. So they rented a room from Ashley because I don't think Gail was too chuffed with the fact that her precious Nikki had married a Battersby.
Who would be?
So there was a storyline later that year relating back to Brian's stabbing, because whilst he was in college, they had a little visitor in, as you get in school, but this was from Darren Whatley, a convicted criminal who turns out to have been the one to have killed Brian.
How did he get clearance to go anywhere near children?
Though those were different times back then.
If you had to see CRB check, it's come back next year.
He wanted revenge on this Darren Whatley bloke, so he wrote to him in prison under Leanne's name saying, oh, can you meet me? So this Darren thinks, well, hey, lovely girl's writing to me, I'm going to get out and go and see her. So he went and saw the actual Leanne, tried to rape her.
That backfired on Nick somewhat, didn't it?
Yeah, and he threatened to kill Nick as well. But anyway, the two decide that they're not going to kill him. They're not going to kind of beat him up or anything. They just reported him and he went back to Strangeway. So that was the end of that. So there was the closure for Nick about his father's murder. He also that year became a nude model at college to earn money. And the only reason I remember that was because I'm pretty sure Roy and Haley, it was, had decided to go and branch off and get these new interests. And they thought, how about we go and do some live art classes? And then they're sitting there waiting for the model to come in. And then Nick walks into the room with his dressing gown and then they have to draw Nick naked. Awkward.
And I bet you now they look back on those drawings and go, God, we were crap. That doesn't look anything like him.
He was only doing it to earn money, but Leanne thought that he was having an affair with his art teacher, the art teacher.
But she was pregnant, Leanne.
Yeah, she dumps him because she's suspicious of him, and she's pregnant.
And the teacher convinces him to tell her to have an abortion, which she does.
Yeah, and they brought that back a few years ago, didn't they?
Yes.
So, 1999, he moved back to Canada when Leanne told him that she no longer loves him. So that was the end of Nick for a little bit, until 2002, when he returned to Coronation Street to get for Gail's wedding to Richard Hillman. And he was like, I think it was when they were at the church, if I'm remembering, because he's been back and forth so often, and he was like running down the path of the church with his little curtains blowing in the wind.
And Gail's like oh, spaniel's Nick. Ears.
So they went to that wedding and Gail and Richard lived happily ever after.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Nick was starting a relationship with Maria took her back to Canada, but she soon returns without him because she realised that she didn't like maple syrup, though. She realised that he was more interested in the business than him.
What business?
I think he was working... Am I right? He was working at a business? I can't remember. Or maybe he had another girlfriend there. Or maybe he was just couldn't tear himself away from the mirror and she was tiring of him.
Well, no, because how could she get to... If they're both staring at the mirror... There's only enough space for one person, and we know that Maria is quite vain.
Yeah.
So they probably were elbowing
each other. This mirror ain't big enough for the both of us.
Yeah, so she came back home again. In 2003, Nick returns to Weatherfield and becomes deputy to Mike Baldwin at Underworld.
Yeah, so this is the first that we saw of Nick's business acumen.
And he snuggles on the sofa with Sarah Louise's boyfriend, Todd. He gets the wrong idea somewhat and tries to plant a kiss on his face.
Famous scene. Bad move, Todd. Bad move.
Bad move, man. Nick is pretty disgusted when Sarah forgives him and has a brief fling with the lovely Candice, who has a little funny nose.
A little nosy.
Yeah.
Did, no, 2003. Yeah, you were watching it then,
yeah,
right? Do you remember that kiss?
Candice.
No, do you remember the kiss and how big that was? Because that was Corey's first gay kiss, even though it wasn't actually a gay kiss.
It wasn't really, was it? It was like a gay rape kiss.
It was. They made it out to be. This is going to be huge. But actually it wasn't, it was just a little peck.
I don't remember it feeling it was momentous or anything.
It wasn't momentous, but it was supposed to be momentous, I think.
The earth didn't move.
No. In 2004, Nick fell out with Janice over Leanne, but he later rescued her when the factory catches fire. What
that
a good, good gent he is.
What's it called? Magnanimous.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
I do. He proposed to Maria also in 2004, but the vicious Leanne managed to split them up. So he left Weatherfield for a new job in Nottingham.
Nottingham, Canada.
No, Nottingham, England. And that was the last we saw of Adam Rickett.
Aww.
They did, I think, if I'm right in this, they wanted to maybe get him back when Nick came back in 2009. But Adam Rickett was in New Zealand playing a hunky doctor, probably, in Shortland Street. So they made the excellent decision to cast Ben Price, who is 10 years older, I reckon, than Nick's supposed to be, and looks it.
Yeah, but he looks like he fits with Leanne more. I don't think that Adam Rickett would look like he ever went out with Leanne.
I don't know what Adam looks like anymore. I'm imagining Adam is like a 16, 17-year-old lovesick teenager, and you're right, he wouldn't fit with Leanne now.
He's probably changed his hair, please God, hopefully.
Well, Ben Price made it very clear that he is not playing Adam Rickett. He said, I'm playing Nick, and Nick's moved on. It's been 5 years, and you move a lot over that time. I'm sure people will think he's not like the other Nick, but hopefully they'll think I'm bringing something better, nicer, or a bit different to the show. If I'm good enough, they'll go with it, but I can't worry about it too much.
And he didn't.
No.
Yeah.
So tell us about his return storyline.
In 2009, he comes back for Gail's wedding to Joe, but he unwittingly kisses Tina, Joe's daughter and Dave's ex.
Yeah, because they meet up in a bar, don't they?
Yeah.
He had a big year in 2010. Look at all these notes I got for 2010. They obviously thought he was their star signing or something. He'd been in Footballers' Wives before, Ben Price, I think. So he
Is
was
that
like...
what the lady that plays Carla was in?
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
Never watched it.
Yeah, so they'd obviously thought they'd got this big signing from
Scott!
Him. So, let's see what happened to Nick. He got involved in trying to clear Gail's name when she was suspected of being behind Joe's death. He also dated Kelly Crabtree for a bit and convinced her to get information about the value of shares in the factory so that he could make an offer because he was interested in kind of returning back to this place where he was the deputy for Mike. So he became a business partner, although in return for her betrayal, Carla got Nick to sack Kelly. But then later, it didn't last for long because Underworld burnt down that year with all thanks to old Tony Gordon. So Nick opened new premises where the bistro is now, and he renamed it Nick's Nick's. Knickers. That could have been an awesome pun back at the time. Until Carla returns from holiday and finds out that he's kind of taking over.
Then he started dating Natasha Blakeman and gets her pregnant. But Gail finds out by looking at her medical records that she's had an abortion. And then they have a row and Natasha tries to kill herself. But then they make up and she realises that he doesn't love her and has redeveloped feelings for Leanne, so she leaves.
Yeah.
Quite like Natasha.
I think lots of people like Natasha just for her exit, because she didn't do anything for years. She was just in the background in the hairdressers, wasn't she?
And it wasn't. She was kind of like a Julie, but not as funny or sweet.
Yeah, she was just kind of there. I didn't know what the point.
I didn't care what she thought.
Was like Matt Carter, who was kind of in it every now and again.
Maybe
I'm remembering it wrong, but I really don't think she did anything until she started dating Nick.
Well, her exit
storyline was awesome, because like she'd obviously she found out that Gail had been through her medical records, and then she went and got Gail sacked from the medical centre, and then she went and pretty much told everyone on the street what she thought of them before marching out. That was a good exit. More than the character deserved, I think, but, you know.
Well, someone's got to say it.
By the end of the year, Nick had ended his partnership with Carla, and he opened up the Joinery Bar, which is where the Bistro is now, taking on Leanne as a manageress. Kind of, she reluctantly joined in. This eventually developed into an affair between the two of them, even though she was going out with Peter at the time, and that was all part of the Nick, Peter, Carla, Leanne love quadrangle.
The three-year-long epic love quadrangle that no one likes.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like it's over now, but you never know when it's going to rear its ugly head again, and Peter and Leanne are going to start seeing each other.
I never feel comfortable with any of these people.
Now, the Joinery, that was quite an important place by the end of 2010, because that is where the gas explosion took place, which was the cause of the big tram crash.
So it's kind of fortunate, really, because that was such a lovely episode and everyone enjoyed it.
Well, Nick was trapped with... He was with Ashley, because Ashley died there, and I think Peter was there as well. So Ashley died, and his widow Claire initially blamed him for
because they thought the gas had been, it was some kind of human error that...
Yeah, but actually it was just a machine
fault. An accident.
Yeah. That Christmas, he shared a kiss with Leanne, but he slept with Tracy at New Year, and unbeknownst to him, she just spent the night with David as well.
What a slapper.
I know. Why did she sleep with David again? I don't even remember.
Didn't he do something for her?
Yeah.
I remember her saying, him getting all gooey-eyed over her and her telling him, if you do this, I'll...
Yeah, I can't remember. I cannot remember what it was. 2011, he tried to split up Leanne and Peter so that he could get back with her. And I thought he was kind of definitely turning into a bit of a villain by then. He was a bit of a nasty piece of work in early 2011, because he was like pretending to be friends with Peter, trying to ply him with alcohol.
Get drunk, yeah.
Peter obviously eventually finds out what he's been doing, and he beat him up with his crutches, because this is when he couldn't walk.
Tells Leanne.
Yeah, and but he was back working at Underworld again by the end of 2011.
In 2012, he puts the blame on David when Audrey has a heart attack, but then he tries to get David to help him get Kylie back when she leaves him.
He then had a bit of an on-off relationship with Eva, which was kind of... It was a bit of a flat... I don't really remember much about it now. All I remember was her taking her revenge on him by putting chili in the soup or something.
Well, she tried to scratch his car up at one point as well.
Yeah, but that didn't last long, because he still loves Leanne at the end of the day. He eventually got back together with becoming a stepdad to Simon. But he left her on their wedding day last Christmas because she went to go and see Peter on the way to the ceremony.
He takes comfort in Kylie's arms.
And we know where that's left.
Sleeps with her and gets her pregnant.
Oh dear, and 9 months later we're still the wiser about who the daddy actually is.
In 2013, he reconciles with Leanne, they get married, tries to convince Kylie to have an abortion, gets blackmailed by Lewis after he hears him talking about the affair, and Mr. Gale what happened. The news makes his way to David, which causes a hate campaign against him, and then he ends up in a car crash, and now he's in a coma, and he's squeezing people's hands and blinking.
Yeah, we said that fast, it's only just happened, and we thought you didn't need a reminding of it. So, Nick, do you think that Nick is...
He's had some really interesting storylines, but
for a dull character,
sucks the joy out of them.
Do you think that Leanne is the woman for him?
Leanne's changed so much. I used to kind of like her, but now she's just a boring nag, so I think they are suited.
Yeah. It's kind of sweet that, like, these childhood sweethearts are back together again, but I'm just not really interested in the storylines they're in at the moment.
Yeah.
But you're right, Leanne used to be brilliant.
They just need to stop casting men because they think they're good looking.
Yeah.
Because when they do it with the women, at least they bother giving them storylines. Like, Tina's been in loads of
Yeah, she's been, yeah.
Storylines that story are, lines. Yeah, and don't revolve around, I don't know. Nick's just kind of...
I just find...
Doesn't seem to have a personality.
No, and his personality has been changing. Because Ben Price is right. He is totally different to how Adam Rickett was when he played him. It's like this heartthrob teenager, a bit kind of...
Goofy.
Bit goofy, exactly. Yeah. And now he's...
It's like a hard-nosed, kind of stoic...
Businessman, which equals boring in Coronation Street.
Well, Mike was like the ultimate Corrie businessman, and he was wheeler and dealer, like a duck and a diver, and he wasn't afraid to get his hands dirty. I can't imagine Nick doing anything like that. I mean, you need to be a bit of a shady dealer to be interesting as a businessman on Corrie, because that's where the conflict comes from. Because look at Carla, she's kind of like an honourable woman in business, and all of her storylines are boring to do with, oh no, we're going to run out of business, we need to get this order out by Wednesday.
But I tell you who is a shady businessman, Rob.
Yeah, that's true.
And we've got
he's more interesting than Nick.
Oh yeah, definitely. I want to see more of them at this shop. It's been like two months since we've seen anything from Rob and Tracy.
I know.
It's a shame, I want to see more of that.
Didn't even get to see him when Craig got his game.
No, I
even went in there to buy it and you didn't see that.
So what's your opinion on head swaps in Coronation Street, or soaps in general, people coming back with new heads?
I haven't been watching it long enough to really be invested in anybody that's changed their head though, have I?
No, I guess not, because like obviously David's not been played by Jack P. Shepherd for Always, but
I'm still waiting for them to get rid of Faye or
Simon?
No, not Simon. Who's Tracy's kid?
Amy.
Yeah, I'm waiting for him to get rid of Amy.
Yeah, I think that they will change Amy. I think, like, if you grow up being the child, then you're going to get... I don't know whether there's very many children at all that have stayed in it since they were born. They always kind of reach that teenager, preteen stage when they decide they want to carry on with their studies. But if they're cast as 10, 11, 12-year-olds, then they'll carry on like David has and Rosie
change.
And Sophie have. I think Faye's in it for the long haul now, and probably Simon as well.
I think Faye's got the potential of going off, you know, to college or whatever when she gets to be a teen and coming back as someone different. But you're right, I don't think they're going to change her.
No. I mean, I guess sometimes that's what you have to do, because if people want to bring the character back...
Well, with characters like who are street, you know, from a main family of the street, you've got to.
Yeah, unless they're such legends because of the way that they're played. I mean, can you imagine them when Julie Hesmond said she wanted to leave? They were like, it's okay, we'll cast someone else as them. She wouldn't be accepted.
This is why they need to make it a bit more like Doctor Who, and then they can just go, oh, it's the new Hayley!
She wears a blue anorak. Yeah. It's like the Oracle on The Matrix. I never really liked her in the third film when she was played by someone else.
To be fair, the one who played her before died.
Yeah. But, I'd rather have as few head swaps as possible, but...
Yeah.
In a lot of cases, it's led to some awesome characters, like Rosie. She would have never have been such a great character, played by the old actress. I'm sorry to say to the old actress, but...
I'm sure she's not listening.
No.
I mean, it's kind of a bit of a suspension of disbelief, but we know this isn't real. It's not really that important. I don't know. But yeah, I guess I'd rather they just ditch the character if they... Well, I mean, they can just make up some crap if they want.
They always have to have the character go off for an extended period of time so they can come back and hopefully people won't notice.
Didn't somebody go up the stairs and come back? Was that David?
No. Well, he wasn't the ups the stairs and down again. That might have been Tracy or something, because she was played by Dawn Ashton
French
beforehand. But she was off somewhere in London or whatever. But yeah, David did go from being old David to new David just like this. But I mean, the old character was just a background character. They were never in it. I mean, they could like recast Asher and Ardy.
Who would care?
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
It's a necessary evil sometimes.
I think if I was going to be in Corrie, or in a soap like Corrie, it'd be awesome to be introduced as the new face of like a proper character that had
earned... You think? Because you have a lot to live up to.
No, what? If I say you want to replace Amy, Oh, you better watch out. You gotta replace Amy, everyone's favourite child who's born of Tracy and thinks that Hayley's
No, I see what you mean.
If you, the best thing to do is to replace the child character.
Yeah.
Because then you're like, no, I am so and so, insert Corrie surname here. Mm. I belong on the street.
Yeah.
And the only way you're gonna get rid of me is if you do pull an Adam Rickett and get rid of me and then bring someone back and everyone hates them. Mm.
Ryan Connor was the other one recently, isn't it, that's come back with a new head. Well, less head,
I preferred the old one so much, but so I don't think they're the same person.
No.
They might as well have just, you know, when they did that storyline where Michelle
had the baby swap.
Ryan wasn't actually her son. They might as well just have swapped him for
Ryan.
Oh, this is my real son.
I just don't like it when they swap heads with somebody just because they can get somebody hunkier. Which is what they did with Adam Rickett, and they did it with Ryan.
And he isn't at all. I mean, the other kid was kind of sweet. Yeah, he wasn't hunky and stuff, but I don't think the new one is either.
Mm.
But then I don't think I'm exactly the audience for them, am I?
No. So do you think that Nick has the potential to become a villain? Because he's
Yeah, he should do.
And
he's good at squinting.
Yeah. But if they do, then they'll kill him off.
Have to get rid of him.
I don't think they'd do that to
him. But then what about Mike? He was a bit of a villain all the way through.
Not a proper villain. He's like he's more like an antagonist. Yeah, I think if they decide that they want a new villain and they don't have any other one to.
They won't get rid of Nick.
I don't know. I don't know.
They're gonna send him off to Canada again when they get bored of him, won't they?
Mm.
Sorry, Canada. They have to put up with him.
That's enough. We had quite a good discussion about Nick there, didn't we? Considering we don't enjoy him at all particularly. But
I don't hate him as much as I make out. I just don't. I wouldn't notice if he stopped being in it.
Yeah, he's all right. He's okay.
That's our summary.
Nick, he's okay.
He's okay.
Let's go to the cabin now.
We've got a few bits of news. Well, one of them, the first bit isn't even news, is it? It's just our thoughts on Julie Goodyear
on Piers Morgan's life stories last week. And he did make her cry.
Yeah.
I can't remember much about it.
We did watch it a while ago now.
We didn't make any notes.
No, we didn't.
It was all right.
Just for fun.
There was that post on the Coronation Street blog that completely slated her appearance on there. But I thought she was all right.
I thought she was very awkward and she didn't really know how she wanted to portray herself. Because on the one hand, she wanted to be like I'm a legend, I'm a screen legend, I'm a diva. And on the other hand, she wanted to be like, oh, I'm really humble. I never wanted to be famous. I'm just a small town girl. You know?
She's just morphed into Bette, hasn't she? And I don't think she seems to really know where Julie stops and Bette starts these days.
It was incredibly awkward, all the stuff with her husband, when she kept being like, oh, well, Piers was going, oh, it's a love story. And she's like, is it? I don't know. It depends on how it ends, doesn't it?
There were a few times when she was trying to be funny, but it didn't really work.
It really didn't work. It felt completely flat.
I liked seeing the old Coronation Street clips. They're always good.
That was good. And it was interesting to hear about her. I wasn't interested at all in her personal life because she seems to be the sort of person that makes trouble for herself.
Yeah, I wasn't interested in that at all. I like hearing about her old stories about the street. And I know we've heard them before, but how she was terrified of Pat Phoenix. I think everyone was terrified of Pat Phoenix. And so on. And yeah, it's worth watching if you're a Corrie fan.
She
on YouTube,
is
I'm sure.
A hot mess, I think.
A hot mess.
That's what you call a hot mess.
I've never heard that expression before.
Look it up.
Okay. Second bit of news. We've got a new, there will be a new online web series, which ITV occasionally does for Corrie. This one is going to be about Hayley's diary. And it's going to come online on Monday at itv.com/Hayley.
Wow, that's a very prominent URL.
I know, she's a legend, is Hayley. So it's going to be basically more of Hayley, which can only be a good thing, for doing all the things that are on her bucket list.
How lovely.
Yeah.
Just like that film, Bucket List.
Yeah. The press release or the ITV website or whatever says, and this is going to be a long quote.
Oh, God, I've just read some of it. Oh, carry on.
Okay. Hayley's diary will launch on Monday the 30th of September and will show a unique insight into Hayley's world as she carries out the wish list of all the things she wants to do with Roy to celebrate her life. Three exclusive online scenes will see Hayley overcome her childhood fear of puppets.
That's what I was moaning about.
Yeah, that's an odd one. That's come out of nowhere. Go on a camping trip with a difference. That's on my bucket list. I'd really like to go on a camping trip with a difference. And revisit the boating lake where they shared their first kiss. Now, that would be nice, I'm sure. I think I've seen paparazzi shots of that. Coronation Street scriptwriter Ellen Taylor has penned 12 funny and moving blogs in Hayley's own words to run alongside the extra scenes between September the 30th and mid-October. A series of uplifting photographs will accompany the blogs as we see Hayley do everything from teaching Roy to drive and letting go of 99 red balloons to riding on the back of a Harley Davidson. I'd like to have been in like the brainstorm room at ITV when we were like, what can we get Hayley to do?
What can we write off on our taxes?
We should have that as a question of the week for the listeners. What would you like to see Hayley do on her bucket list?
Yeah, let's make it an even more cheerful question. What would you do if you had a bucket list? No, keep it to Hayley. Keep it to Hayley. What would Hayley do?
I can't even think. I haven't think of anything.
Try to imagine you're going to die and you're Hayley and you're married to Roy. Divorce would be my first one.
It can just be anything, because riding on the back of a Harley Davidson is like a bit out there. I'd like to see like fire a gun or
Roy, I've always wanted to shoot
Ryan
someone.
Connor.
Yeah, at Norris.
They already mentioned bungee jumping on there as an idea, didn't they? Or paragliding or something.
Oh, I bet she'd like to drive Woody over 30 miles an hour.
I'd like to see her drive Woody like over a bridge that's kind of going up. And
like
she has
in speed.
Yeah.
Gun it, Hayley, gun it.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, I'm going to go into fifth, Roy.
Tell us what you think. What would you like to see Hayley doing in Hayley's Diary Part 2, which could come later on in the year? Next bit of news, Michael Lavelle update. It turns out that he will not be back in Coronation Street in time for Christmas, which people had kind of, it wasn't even rumoured, it was people kind of assuming, well, obviously he'll be back soon then.
I thought it was announced or something. There wasn't.
I don't
we
know whether
make
it was.
It up.
Well, no, I think people just assumed, well, he'll be back, and Coronation Street said we look forward to
I'm
talking
sure
with him.
I'm sure they said that. They were, okay.
But they're already all planned up for Christmas anyway, so.
And already I think booked out for Christmas?
That they obviously
only
want to.
90 days.
Is it?
Yeah.
They want to make Heaven's Exit kind of a big thing, I guess, and there's no.
Exit?
Re-entrance a big thing.
And exit wasn't a big thing.
No, that wasn't at all. So they haven't got time for that, so. We won't be seeing Kevin back until New Year.
I did wonder how they were going to slot him into Christmas.
He has visited the street, though, this week, the actor.
They have to do it quite sensitively, how they reintroduce him, though, because he can't really come back in a... We've said this before, haven't we? He can't come back in a...
Swathed in glory.
No. And, yeah, he's visited the street, and he has also split up with his girlfriend.
Yeah, he's been going out with somebody since, like, February, and he wants to be on his own. But that's his
okay,
personal
that's
life.
Fine.
But just in case you want to know.
Yeah.
Gemma, what have we got next as our news story? It's your favourite type of news story.
There are some very important awards. TV Times Awards. www.whatsontv.co.uk. And Michelle Keegan and Paul Gascoigne are down for Best Soap Star.
Michelle Keegan is up for an award? Are you serious?
Yeah, she's pretty good.
I hope she wins it. I don't know that she's got
she's
any awards.
She's pretty sexy.
Yeah, they don't even have an award for Best Soap, as far as I can tell from the list.
Well, that's because they just give it to Corey.
Yeah, but Michelle Keegan you can vote for, or Paul Gascoigne. That's a really odd choice, which is Peter Barlow.
How weird.
Why choose him? I don't know.
Feel sorry for him?
Because, like, David Nielsen's been the one that's been getting all the awards.
I think TV
recently.
Times Awards nominee writer drops the ball on this somewhat.
Yes.
I think they were just fannying
pick
around.
Pick a name out of a bag.
They just went onto Wikipedia and went, he's in Coronation. Oh, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
I recognise that name.
Barlow, can't do Ken Barlow.
Ken's not in it anymore.
Peter, yeah, he'll do. So, yeah. Anyway, you can vote at whatsontv.co.uk. Your vote. Every little counts. If you want to, if you can be bothered.
It's important.
Now, the next news item is something that may even get my old mum to be back watching Coronation Street, because
yeah,
she's
I
a
bet.
Lapsed Coronation Street
oh,
fan.
God, yeah.
But this could bring her back. Gary Barlow, yes, I'll take
the
that.
The Gary Barlow.
Is going to be joining the Meerkats, along with some other Corrie stars this Christmas, in doing a bit of carol singing. I couldn't work out from the news report whether this is just an advert for Compare the Market, or whether it was going to be a little Corrie shorts like we've been having before and after the adverts.
I think they should bring Gary Barlow into Coronation Street as the long-lost Barlow. Who actually did something good with his life.
We've had enough boy band members with Keith Duffy in it, I don't think.
I think Gary Barlow is a higher calibre of...
He's not an actor.
No.
But anyway, That's all there is
well,
to that news.
How would we know? Because Take That never released a movie, unlike the Spice Girls. Now we all know how great they are at acting.
Spice Girls are awesome. Last bit of news. This is quite good news. Coronation Street girls beat Emmerdale girls at netball last weekend.
That's important,
it
again.
It is important news.
They won 33-28.
Is that good for netballs?
Netball?
I don't know anything about netball.
Pivot.
They won. And that was all for the Tech Santa ITV Christmas charity thing. So I guess we'll get to see it at Christmas. But at the Manchester Evening News website, you can see clips that are filmed from people in the crowd on their mobile phones if you really want to see the Emmerdale girls getting trounced. But on the Coronation Street team, we had Katie Kavanagh, Sammy Agardi, Brooke Vincent, Jane Danson, Katie McGlynn, Chrissy Bonn, and Alison King. And
God, it's like an Olympic lineup, isn't it?
All-star cast.
Yeah. But, I'm surprised they let them get on the pitch with all those balls flying in their faces.
Apparently, Alison King was the star of the match on the Coronation Street side, so good for her.
I would be too scared to get anywhere near her.
I know.
Can you imagine? Shoot!
She'd give you the look of death.
Yeah.
Right, so that is it for the news. Nothing big, but a couple of nice little stories. Let's do some feedback. Feedback time. Thank you very much for all the feedback that we've had about the new style street talk. It looks like a lot of people enjoyed it. Some people have said they liked the both styles.
Nobody said they didn't like it.
No, exactly. So we're going to try and carry it on being a little bit more conversational and less
reading. Don't like it, and now you have to put up with it every week. It's your own fault.
And now's your final chance if you don't like it. But I think the decision has been made.
It's too late now.
We got lots of messages, and we won't read them all.
Doing it this way because you have to do less writing.
Yeah, exactly. We can watch it more.
Yeah, exactly. So we actually know what's happened.
We got a nice message from Karen today about it and other things. So Gemma was going to read that out.
She said, "Love the change. It allows people like me who are constantly torn by spoilers to enjoy your podcast because we're not getting every nuance of every scene. This is how good you are,"
Thanks.
Which is code for, "That was how anal you used to be." Also, you did a few of the quotes you liked this week. Maybe you should make that a permanent thing. It showcases when the writers are doing a great job.
I thought we used to do quotes anyway.
Not very well. We've actually got a different section.
Now let's have some quotes. Yeah.
Well, we can't. I prefer to put them into the.
I know. We're still trying to work out how to do these notes.
Another thing. I'm on a roll. If you are having trouble with the punny storyline titles, why not throw it out to the listeners? We may have something perfect for you, and it may take some of the pressure off.
If anyone ever wants to suggest some awesome puns, we'll be happily received. Because the number of hours that spends sometimes.
You just hassle me every moment.
I can't think of a pun.
Oh, Carla Connor.
We did a fairly good job this week.
One last thing. Never stop adding the bloopers. Ever.
That was another thing that some other people liked. Yeah, we got somebody saying that they liked that you snorting with laughter. We didn't have any bloopers today.
We did, but you deleted it.
Did I? I can't even remember. A lot of our bloopers sometimes are us arguing. They're not that funny at all.
No.
Gemma getting mad at me.
We don't want to provide evidence for future court proceedings. love you as always. I've been listening to podcasts for ages and it was worth the wait for you two to come along. You make my morning commute a whole lot less stabby.
Yeah.
That's good.
Does that mean you're
more
gonna stab somebody if we weren't? Nice.
That's good to know.
Yeah, but thank you for all the feedback about that. And we'll round off today's episode with our weekly email from Tivor, who said she's talking about Christian's storyline. At the time, the storyline with Haley's son really felt like cashing in on a big Hollywood movie that was out at the time with the same theme. A transgender person discovered she had a son. It was widely criticised as a betrayal to Haley's already established backstory. In a way, though, since it was out there, I'm glad they're addressing it.
Do you know what film that was?
No, I've got no idea. I don't remember that at all. But yeah, I agree that it's out there and it's probably best, I guess, that it's mentioned because Hayley would want to know a bit more about her son before she died. But I don't like it at all that she had a son because it did go against her backstory.
I mean, on the one hand, I'm always moaning and going, oh, in real life, that wouldn't happen. Da, 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 da. And then when they're like, let's try to make this a bit realistic. In reality, a woman would want to reach out to her progeny who she's leaving behind.
Mm.
But no, I don't bloody like it.
Yeah.
If you want to make this story unrealistic, just have lots of scenes of us sitting in the hospital waiting for an appointment.
Tibor went on to talk about Stella's moping and misering and everything last week. She says, Stella's reaction to all this, her boozing and then hiding away and having a big pity party, it just goes to compare again against the legendary barmaids. She's no Bette Lynch. Bette would have put her lippy on, plastered a smiley mask on and faced the punters like nothing was wrong. Her classic Bette line is, it's not a smile, it's a lid on a scream. Annie Walker would have taken to her bed just for the day, then carried on, and even someone like Liz would have gone to the jail, torn Carl's face off, and then carried on. It's true.
It.
Yeah. Stella's just...
She's got no bite to her.
No. But she's gone now, and she's still in the programme, but hopefully we'll be selling up very soon. Tibor also thinks that Sophie needs to shut up, but thinks that it's going to push Sally into Tim's arms even more so if... Sophie's saying you shouldn't go out with him. She also gave us a little bit more backstory on Bette, which we didn't get last week, saying that Bette was hired for the pub by Billy Walker when his mother was away. Annie didn't want to keep Bette on, but realised she brought in the punters, so the finances won over her morals. I don't think Annie ever really approved of Bette. I really love the story with Bette and Charlie the trucker, though. He was gorgeous, and all of us fans online dubbed him Ooh Baby Charlie, or OBC for short. Did they even have online back in those days? It was a good storyline, including Tanya Pooley, who was also having an affair with Alex Christie, who was Des Barnes's boss. This is too complicated for me. And she had an affair with Des, who was involved with Raquel at the time. When that blew up and everyone was throwing evils at Tanya, she set her sights on Charlie, lured him away from Bette, ran off to Germany with him. He did come back after a few months later to apologise, though, but she sent him packing and held her head up high. Did you get all that, Gemma? There's going to be a test.
Can I hear it again?
No. You can listen to the podcast again if you want to. That was the end
of
that message.
You know what I'm like, though, with backstory? I don't even remember what happened like a month ago.
No.
I live in the moment.
Yeah.
But this is why Tivor needs to write into us to remind us
of these things.
Yeah.
It's good.
She's like the Chronicle.
Have you found about this story, this film?
No. What was the date?
1998, 1999.
Oh, okay. No.
Okay. Well, if you want to look it up, you can find out, but it wasn't Coronation Street the movie. That is it for another week. Yeah, I think so. Why? You keep looking. We'll maybe mention it next week. If you would like to email us to tell us about anything at all, or ask
us
any questions or anything. Yeah, anything at all. Any comments or whatever's. Voicemail we haven't had for a while. You can send it to conversationstreet@gmail.com. You can leave us a post on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com. You can join us on Twitter or Facebook by searching for Conversation Street and getting involved in all the conversation and chatty bits that are going on there. And as always, we give a plea for our iTunes review.
If you would like us to read out your comments or opinions or anything, you pretty much just have to write in.
Yeah.
Because we really will read it.
Yeah, yeah. Anything. We read anything.
Yeah. So, like reading out loud, it proves that we've got our GCSE in English.
I'm a teacher, it's my job. Right, that would be it for another week. Gemma's going to be 31 next week.
Shut up!
So send in all your birthday messages. Have a good week and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The music for this podcast was provided by podcastthemes.com.